friends and home. And I can't put an emphasis bigger than that on what I'm saying. And I want to thank everyone, members of council, Madam Mayor, Mike Disher, town manager, Kim Sherbano, HR. I look around, I see police chief, fire chief, Becky Hugler, for God's sake. She always volunteers on everything. Howard Pritzky never gets. And I see the members of C4PI and residents. If I've left anybody out, I didn't mean to. I'm looking. I just cannot tell you. So check on your neighbor for me. Ian and Nicole started it. And then by Chief Scales' association with FEMA, and he quickly drafted, or she calls it volunteer, Becky Hugler. And then I was lucky enough to be able to participate in a program that has really just begun and needs more support. It's so easy. So I want to thank you all for everything. You mean the world to me, and I love you.
Well, Kathy, which Ohio City... Which Ohio City is getting your residence? Right in the middle.
Now, Kathy, if I could, if you have a potential successor in mind, please have them contact the chief.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
And now we're up to our consent agenda. There are three items on the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any of the items? Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes. Agenda item 9. This is the approval of 1-year agreement with Halifax Humane Society for our animal shelter. Chief Glazier?
Good afternoon, Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. Yeah, this is simply a renewal of our current contract with Halifax Humane Society. The town attorney has already reviewed the contract for form and content, and they have approved it. And really, the only thing to note is in my staff report, you see a few changes in the fees. They did have some increases in their fees. However, we really only use them for our feral cats. So most of these fees will not even apply to us. The only one that will apply is the increase in the feral cat return to field cost, which went from $45 to $58, so a $13 increase. And we average between 10 and 20 feral cats a year, so that would go up about $100 to $200 for our overall budget, so not a real big increase. So we're simply asking for the council to approve this contract.
Thank you, Chief Glazier. Does anyone have any questions of the chief? No?
No, just a renewal.
Just a renewal. Is there anyone in the audience who has any questions of the chief? Okay, seeing none, then I will entertain a motion for approval of this agreement.
I make a motion to approve the services agreement with the Halifax Humane Society.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes.
Aye.
9B, request for co-sponsorship of the 14th annual PI Christmas, Ponce Inlet Christmas Parade, with proposed changes to staging and increased costs to the town. Jackie?
Good evening, Council. Jackie Alex, Cultural Services Manager.
The 14th annual Christmas parade will be held on Saturday, December 7th. The applicants have submitted a request for co-sponsorship, which is very similar to last year's approval, which includes the closure of the boat ramp and boat trailer parking lot, waiver of special event fees, waiver of all staff personnel fees. There are two changes to this year's parade. The first is the location of staging. Last year, staging was in various areas across town. However, the applicants received approval from Volusia County to stage within the Lighthouse Point Park behind the gate at the end of South Peninsula, aiding in traffic flow. County Council also approved waiving the toll fees for all registered parade participant vehicles. The second change that is before you is the increase to staff personnel fees. So that increases the total cost incurred to the town by $315. And pursuant to our ordinances, the increased cost is why it's before your review today for co-sponsorship. The town has co-sponsored this event entirely since the first Christmas parade in 2009. Staff has evaluated this request and currently meets all the adopted criteria. Marco Beck is one of the applicants and is here if you have any questions.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Now, we've all had the opportunity to review this and we know what we've done in the past. Does anyone have any questions for either Jackie Alex or for the applicant, Marco Beck? No questions.
None.
No questions. Anybody in the audience? Okay, then seeing none, we'll take a motion to approve the request.
I make a motion to approve the request of co-sponsorship as the criteria has been met for the 14th annual Christmas parade.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Mark and Charisse. Okay, we have no matters on item 10 or 11 of our... Oh, no, item 11,
we have
B. Yeah, we have two of them, yes. Thank you.
A has to wait.
A has to wait until 5 o'clock, and that is by state statute. It will be heard after 5 o'clock because it's a zoning change, but we will move on to 11B. Okay. 11B, Ordinance 2024-07, that is the first reading amending the Code of Ordinances to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with a special magistrate. Cliff, would you please read the ordinance by title only?
It's second reading.
Second reading. Thank you. Thank you, Cliff.
Ordinance number 2024-07, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 1, General Provisions, Chapter 2, Administration, Chapter 6, Alcoholic Beverages, Chapter 10, Animals, Chapter 18, Buildings and Building Regulations, Chapter 34, Environment, Chapter 42, Offenses and Miscellaneous Provisions, Chapter 46, Parks and Recreation, Chapter 51, Special Events, Chapter 62, Solid Waste, Chapter 66, Stormwater and Conservation, Chapter 70, Streets, Sidewalks, and Other Public Places, Chapter 74, Traffic and Vehicles, Chapter 78, Utilities, and Chapter 82, Vegetation, to replace references to the Code Enforcement Board with Special Magistrate, and to update related definitions and procedures, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you so much, Cliff. Mike? It's second reading. I don't know if Mr. Lear.
Yeah, there have been some changes. Darren is available to go over those with you.
Darren, if you would be so kind. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. Our fine town attorney forwarded us some additions after first reading, so I'll just go through those quickly for you. Starting out with Section 2-142, establishing authority for this amendment. Additions of a term and compensation in Section 2-162, and clarification in Section 2-185 for record keeping. Also an update to Section 2-193, administrative fines and liens. And finally, an addition of an appeals deadline in Section 2-194, appeals. Thank you.
Those are the additional changes.
Yes, ma'am.
Then. Okay. Does anyone have any questions we wish to explore it further in any way? No. Gary?
No.
Nothing? Anyone in the audience? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion on second reading.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what? Go ahead.
I got it. Question before I make the motion. Mr. Shepherd, do we need to note in the motion the changes that Darren just spoke about?
No, because it didn't change the title, and that's the key. And he's just educated you as to what they are, and they are in the draft. So
okay, no. Great. Okay, so I make a motion to approve the proposed ordinance changes of 2024-07, amending, and I'm not going to state all those items, Chapter 1, 2, 6, 10, 18, 34, 42, 46, 51, 62, 66, 70, 74, 78, and 82 of the Code of Ordinances to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with the Special Magistrate.
On second reading.
On second reading.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
11C, we have a second reading, 2024-08, amending the LUDC to replace the Code Enforcement Board with Special Magistrate Cliff. Please read the ordinance by title only.
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance number 2024-08, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Land Use and Development Code, Article 3, Use Regulations, Article 8, Enforcement, and Article 9, Definitions and Rules of Interpretation, to replace references to the Code Enforcement Board with Special Magistrate, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Cliff, Mike?
There have been no changes to this one, so it's ready to go.
Second reading, does anyone have any questions? No.
No.
No. Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, a motion?
Killing me. I make a motion, proposed ordinance 2024-08, amending Articles 3, 8, and 9 of the Land Use Development Code to substitute references of the Code Enforcement Board with the Special Magistrate per a second reading.
Second.
Do
we have a second?
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Excuse me, Mayor, if I could add just one thing. Yeah, as a reminder, these ordinances take effect at the point at which the town council hires a special magistrate. That has been put out for bid, and we hope to have that bid opening on December 6th.
Thank you so much, Mike. We really appreciate that. Okay, now we are at 12A. This is a first reading, Ordinance 2024-09, prohibiting the non-medical personal use of marijuana on public property within the town of Ponce Inlet. Cliff, please read by title only.
Yes, Mayor. Ordinance 2024-09, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending Chapter 42, Offenses and Miscellaneous Provisions relating to the regulation of non-medical personal consumption of marijuana, providing a purpose and definitions prohibiting the smoking and vaping of cannabis, marijuana, or hemp products on public property, providing for codification, severability, conflicts, and effective date.
Thank you very much, Cliff. Mike?
Yeah, this ordinance was prepared at the direction of the town council by the town attorney. I'm going to ask Chief Glazier to come up and give the presentation since it would be his department that was in charge of enforcing it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. So the attached ordinance was drafted in response to town council's directive at the June 20th meeting, and I simply think the council was trying to be proactive with measures prohibiting the use of marijuana on public property within Ponce Inlet. Given the recent Amendment 3 that was on the November ballot, I think council was worried that the legalization of marijuana and the recreational use that would then be allowed on public property would decrease the quality of life for those residents that would have to smell it and or ingest the secondhand smoke of marijuana that was either smoked or vaped. And so this ordinance was created by town council. As everyone knows, smoking of tobacco other than unfiltered cigars is prohibited in our town parks, but town council is just being proactive and saying now you cannot smoke or vape marijuana in town parks, on town sidewalks, or on town property. And so that's the reason behind this amendment. In terms of enforcement, you know, marijuana is legal in 20-plus states. Most police departments around the country don't focus or make arrests on small of amounts of marijuana, which includes the Ponsonby Police Department. We don't focus on that. We can, because of the fact that it is illegal, we can approach people, we can detain people, we can talk to people, but we don't arrest people for small amounts of marijuana. But what we can do with this ordinance is we can stop them from doing that act, and we can stop people from smoking marijuana in public places. And if they refuse, then they can go to jail. Most of the time, they don't do that, though. So that would be our enforcement efforts. At the very least, it allows us to approach people, tell them that's not allowed in town, and depending on the situation, they can either be given a ticket or a fine, or they can simply be released.
Thank you so much. I'm very appreciative of this ordinance and also the efforts, because we were trying to be proactive, and I think it's just another resource for our police department. Does anyone have any questions of our chief?
I have a couple questions. And again, I understand that we do not enforce it, but, you know, from a personal standpoint, riding my bicycle or even being outside, there's some Saturdays or Sundays that, and I'm being facetious about this, but I probably couldn't pass a drug test, and I don't even smoke, but it's just the smell that comes from people going to the beach or going down our streets. And, you know, if it's medical for them, okay, whatever. If it's recreational, if they do it in their own environment, I'm okay with that. But when I see service vehicles and smoke billowing out of service vehicles, it really concerns me. And I'm talking about construction vehicles, and not just for the public that they're working on their homes, but for their safety also. So is there a point that we could tighten down on that, or we should tighten down on that, or we just accept it and move on?
No, I don't think we ever accept it. I just don't think it's, I would say, for our jurisdiction, and really just about any jurisdiction in the country, it's not emphasized, and simply because it is becoming illegal throughout the country. But in terms of, let's say, using a vehicle, it's really no different than driving a vehicle and drinking alcohol.
Yes.
Because it'll still diminish your capacity to drive that vehicle. So when we stop somebody or when we smell somebody on a traffic stop and we smell marijuana, then we kind of treat it the same way. Okay. So we treat it like the person may have a diminished capacity, and then we go through our tests to see if they're going to be arrested or, at the very least, if the passenger should drive the vehicle. But we do, yeah, we do take those proactive measures. But I would say we don't spend a lot of our time looking for people with small amounts of marijuana.
But you answered my question just when you said if there's a traffic stop and you do smell a hint of marijuana, we do investigate further.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yes, of course.
Okay. No, and you answered that for me. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Nothing? Anyone in the audience? Yes, Mr. Fields. Would you like to please come up to the podium? No, no, we need you on the record. Your name, address, and the question. Thank you.
Steve Fields, 6 Marzul. Now, we have new lighted sign, right? We could we post on that new lighted sign that this we passed an ordinance and said there's no smoking, marijuana smoking in this town? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just for their information, yeah. Mm-hmm. Might deter them a little bit anyway.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none. A motion on first reading.
I'll do it.
Yay.
I'll do it for Bill. I make a motion to approve on first reading ordinance 2024-09 prohibiting the non-medical personal use of marijuana on public property within the town of Ponce Inlet.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We have no old business to address. We're up to 14A, discussion to amend the land acquisition fund to allow vehicles and equipment purchases. Mike?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this discussion came at the direction of the council following recent budget hearings and discussions over the purchase of the new and financing of the new fire apparatus. The question came up, can this fund be altered in such a way it could be used to finance or to pay for the financing of this truck? The reason for that is, the reason why that is so attractive is, first of all, because this one, the money does not come from ad valorem taxes, but rather from franchise fees from all our electric and propane and other utilities that operate within the town. So it's not property taxes at all. The second reason is because this has been used to pay the 20-year loan for the town hall facility. We are in this year, fiscal year is the last year of that payment, after which there'll be a significant amount of money that will then become available for use of other things. The way this fund is set up, it was passed by an ordinance in 2003, and it is limited specifically the way it's written for, and I'll just go ahead and read it here, shall be expended from this fund only for the purposes of acquiring real estate, construction of public facilities, and payment of administrative, engineering, and legal expenses related to those tasks. Now, it can also be used for limited number of kinds of emergencies, specifically in the case of a natural disaster or financial emergency, in which case, me as a town manager, I would have to come to the council and ask for that, and the council could only approve that by a 4/5 vote. So when it was set up, it was extremely limited in how it could be used. It was set up, you know, going back and reading through the minutes, to pay for this town hall. And there had already been a land acquisition committee that had been set up, but actually there have been a number of purchases that predated this creation of this fund. You go back and reading the minutes, this is what they talked about. And it was interesting also that the very franchise fee brings in the money from those had only been created 2 months earlier. And let me know if you've heard this before. The town of Ponson was the last jurisdiction in the county to set this up. So I don't know, they finally did it back in 02. Now we have the source of money. It's created as an alternative source of revenue other than ad valorem taxes. So then we get into the discussion of the fire truck and how much is available. To date, there have been, attachment one shows the purchases that this has been used for over time, and Stephanie's going to put this up. This is attachment one in your report. So we'll have, by the end of this fiscal year, $8.3 million worth. So going back to the town hall at the top, that's a total of $6.1 million. Paying off the 15-year loan for the Diocese property. That's the property that this town hall sits on right now. We have a purchase of public works property and then some vacant land at 121 B Street. I believe our council member White may be familiar with that one. There was also the property south of the existing public works facility, which has been sitting undeveloped since that time. And you can see our Pollard Park development, Lighthouse Park and development enhancement. This, our clerk's office and new conference room out there, and then the pickleball shade structures. And then currently in this year's budget, we have amount of money set aside for the reconstruction of Building B at Public Works. So it has been extremely useful to us over this amount of time. If you go to the next slide, Stephanie. Attachment two shows the amount of money that this fund has brought in. It's kind of hard to read, and I don't know if you can zoom in or not. But anyway, over its 20-year period of time, that's it. And then you can see the trend line projections. The green at the top, that is a total amount. The orange beneath it is the electric utility. And that is where, that's what is bringing in the most growth. I mean, we're not growing that much in terms of number of units and structures here, but you know, overall we are growing in terms of power use and therefore the amount of money that this is bringing in. And then you can see at the bottom, those are the trend lines for the solid waste and propane, and there's almost no growth in that at all. Then if you look at attachment three, this is a calculation over the next 7 years. You know, if the council decides to move forward with this, to purchase the truck, we factored in, you can see in this analysis, factored in the amount that would be it would be used for each year. That's $209,000 starting in the year 25-26. And then how much other revenues would be brought in. If this fund was used for nothing else, we would start out next year at almost a reserve at $600,000 and then wind up at the end of that seven-year period with $3.2 million. So it is on these current trends, and that's estimated to increase about 1% each year. You know, it's bringing in a significant amount of money. So then the question becomes, what does the council want to use this for? There's been an interest indicated in the fire truck, but is there anything else? So in the staff report, I've asked a series of questions that we need as staff before we go changing this ordinance. We need to know from the council what your desires are with us. I've listed several suggested uses. You know, if you want it to be used for this one thing only, you know, it could be structured to be just a temporary thing, or we could even just do it as a special request from the manager for that purpose. If you want to open it up beyond that, you know, what would that include? Potential uses could include setting aside a certain dollar amount or percentage going into some of our different savings accounts, like our facility maintenance account, our capital fire equipment account. Could be used to pay off our existing vehicle leases. It could be used to fund other significant vehicle purchases like our backhoe, which I believe is 22 years old and it's kind of really needs to be replaced. But then in addition to that, we still need this fund for its original intended purposes, and that is to acquire properties and improve our facilities, especially in light of our watershed management plan and the results of that. That indicated future flooding that's in store for us over the years and the need to harden or improve or rebuild our facilities, including improve our stormwater drainage capacity. So with that, I'd like we're looking for input from the council on what you prefer to do.
Mike, thank you very much. When is the loan paid off?
At the end of this year, this fiscal year.
One thing that I had thought, and we can discuss this, is regardless of what we come up with by way of instructions, I think it might be helpful for us to present it to the Essential Services Advisory Board, because every year they do look at the priorities and, you know, where money is going, and they do look at our budget, and they are responsible to review capital expenditures over a certain amount. So I thought whatever it is we come up with, I really wouldn't mind having our advisory board advise us. So with that in mind, would anyone like to start the conversation here? Go ahead, Skip.
Okay. Yeah. And again, I am in favor of utilizing the land acquisition fund, but I'd also like to see it remain restricted. For a few reasons, but I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, the way I see it, allowing a one-time purchase, for example, Michael talked about paying off the leases. Once our term is done with the vehicle leases, we use some of that money to buy it out. Public Works next year with a backhoe, I'm okay with that. But I think as long as we keep it restricted and then we bring those items to council to review and approve, I'm comfortable with that. We currently have reserve accounts set up by departments for big ticket items to save up over the course of the years to purchase items. So to me, those accounts should stay in place the way they currently are. The big thing that really drove it home for me, again, and Michael touched on it, was on line 64. Regardless of any changes, the fund needs to play a significant role in funding future improvements related to town short-term, long-term resiliency and outlined in our recently completed watershed master plan. To me, that drove it home because we don't know what it's going to cost the town to get to the point where we meet our obligation on the watershed master plan. And that is my biggest fear. So if we can manage that account through council, whether it's this council or 2 years from now or 4 years from now, you know, to me, it's important to keep some restrictions on that account. Not that anyone would do anything wrong, but I think as a collective group and the residents voicing their concerns, if an item comes up, to me is very important. So,
would you want, have you thought through a percentage for resilience?
No, Mayor, and again, I mean, you know, it's to me, it needs to be utilized for the fire truck. I am all for that. To make the yearly payment on the fire truck, I'm good with. So there's a chunk of money coming out already. So I'm good with that piece. Next year, we do need a backhoe. When I saw, you know, the backhoe sitting beside one of the retention ponds and it was bleeding its oil out, you know, we're at that point. I get that. So that's the type of items I'm talking about. But leaving that account open and not restricted, I'm not sure it's the right thing for us to do.
Thank you. Okay. And Bill?
I agree with Skip, everything he said. It can't. It has to be restricted. It can't be permanent, and it has to be based on the item. I think the biggest thing is that we know that watershed plan, we know we're going to have to be buying property. We know we have to have enough money for it. So I think as a one-time, and I think it requires a four-fifths vote for it to happen, I can do it. But beyond that, it has to come back to us, just exactly what Skip, it has to come back to us every single time, because we have to make sure we have the financial funds to take care of that watershed plan.
Okay.
And we shouldn't have to do that if we had been tougher on our developers as was going on, which we will get to in a little while.
And also, we don't really know, when it comes to appropriation requests, which we can request money under the resiliency fund for the state, but many of those are reimbursements. We still have to do the work. And then we need the money, we'll get it reimbursed. So that's all part of future planning. And, you know, we have to look at what is at the time it's occurring. Joe or Gary?
Well, I look at it slightly different, I think. But in basics, I agree with the two statements before. But you want to remain flexible enough that in the reasonable, proper position, you can take money from that fund so that you can save money for interest or something else that would be, as long as you can have a procedure in place to use it if you need it, and the people agree you need it, then you can use it. That's the position.
Yep, exactly.
I'm looking
for.
So it's flexibility.
Each time it comes back to us. The key is each time it comes back to us, and we need to be actively involved with it.
Absolutely, and that's the 4/5 vote we said, right? 4/5 vote. Okay, Joe?
Yep, it comes down to advice and consent for me, and everything we just discussed here is right on the money. And I like the idea of the essential services input on certain things that come down the road, that we gather as much information as possible.
I like the idea. I talked to Mike briefly about it with the advisory board, because we've had a stable group of members there who every year are looking at the priorities, and there's a recollection then. There's institutional knowledge already there of what we're trying to do. So I think they would be very helpful. Mike, I don't know, have we given you enough by way of guidelines and guardrails, or not really?
Yes. No, you have.
Good. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. Everybody comfortable with what we just said? Now we're going to open it up to the public. If anybody would like to say anything, share anything, anything. Yes, Mr. Fields.
Steve Fields, 6 Mars Old. I think you'll be surprised to hear me say this, but I still think we need to have a reserve. You know, so let's not think that's a honeypot that we can spend on everything. I thought I heard you say something about maybe a percentage should be put away for a reserve. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Field. Anyone else? Okay. So, Mike, I think we've covered it sufficiently for you at the moment.
Yes, yeah, and I want to say if the council does want us to take this to the ESAB, we can certainly do that. This is not something that has to be done in the next few months as far as passing this. We're locked in with the current year budget, but we definitely want to have it done in time for the next year's budget approval.
Yes, thank you. Okay. See, we're working ahead of timetable. That's very good. We're up to 14B. This is a discussion of the proposed countywide moratorium. Mike?
This was actually the request of Councilman White to put this on the agenda. So I prepared some material based on what we had found or what we had, the council's ordinance, county council's ordinance. And then earlier today, I also provided you with a timeline of everything that we have been doing as a town, really since we started on this, about 10 years ago. And that is that was emailed to you, and I've also provided that to you on your desk here. Do you want a copy of this? We can post. Okay. Right. Well, that's it. This is Councilman White's item.
Skip?
Yes. Thank you. I had a conversation with Michael about this, and of course, several of us attended the Volusia County Council meeting on Tuesday night, afternoon, evening, late morning. But the concerns that I had is not directed at the county or any other municipality. It's more concerned about where we might stand as a council. And since we can't have discussion because of the Sunshine Law, I wanted to bring it forward to us now to try to get ahead of what might happen, what could happen, and what legally can happen. Whether right now we don't know where we stand as a council as far as a moratorium, but I can tell you from the feeling I got from the council at Volusia County Tuesday night and going back and actually I didn't listen to all 9 hours of their meeting, and Cliff, I wasn't speaking, but it was 9 hours. The council sat through their entire council meeting. But the first 4 hours were dedicated to this topic. And I'm not sure there's enough horsepower behind it for it to be approved, a countywide moratorium. But if there is, and that's not my vote, but if there is, then I want us to try to get ahead of it. I talked to Michael again about George Reckenwalter. George did a fantastic job 4 hours into that meeting. And again, we left early because it was pushed into a special meeting that's going to happen on December 17th. But after 4 hours of discussion, and I'm going to say misunderstanding and maybe not firsthand knowledge from residents and individuals attending the meeting, George explained where the county was at and what they were currently working on. Michael put together this quick snapshot, and Michael, thank you so much for this, of where we're at right now. And when the town started back in 2015, trying to get ahead of our stormwater management program. And Michael, I would love to see if we could put this on social media for our residents understand, if they take the time to look on social media, which a lot of people do, we can find a way to put a heading on this where they see where we're at as a town. And I think that was the biggest misconception from some of the residents that attended that meeting. They didn't know what was going on and what had been happening. Now, are we anywhere perfect to where we need to be? Absolutely not. Are we going to continue to work on it? Yes. I always say, if I'm ever satisfied with something, you need to fire me because I'm not doing my job. And I feel that way about the council, and I know, Michael, you feel the same way. So with that being said, the points I'd like to bring up and discuss, number one, if it does pass, is it legal? Number two, why Ponce Inlet? We do not share a water basin with any other municipality. Chairman Brower is going to direct George Reckenwalter to meet and or discuss with each town manager how we manage our water runoff. Where do we put it? Where do we pump it whenever before storm happens? So I laughed and said, Michael, you know, you're on board. If the moratorium passes, who's going to be the gatekeeper? Who's going to come in and say, Ponce Inlet, your LUDC is not up to speed. Your building codes are not up to what we want it to be. Building code requirements for the watershed master plan. They're talking about trying to develop some kind of requirements for that. In my opinion, we have that. The last thing I want to talk about is we've been working on our LUDC and our building codes for several years, and it takes time to get those legally changed. So if they try to get in Volusia County and change the LUDC, how long is that going to take and to hit those standards? So that's just a few points, and I'll drop back and listen to other comments, but I'd like to probably come back with another statement.
Yeah, Councilman White, thank you so much. First, I don't know if you said December. The county council special meeting is January 14th.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
January 14th at 4 o'clock. Councilman White was there, I was there, and our town manager was there. I was there in the capacity as president of the Volusia League of Cities because, as president, I represent 16 municipalities, and here's the issue. We don't know what we're being asked to consider. There's not a framework. The questions that Councilman White has raised are questions that need to be answered before we can take a position one way or the other, and we're fully aware as the town of Ponce Inlet has been proactive and actually quite ahead of the curve on what we've done by way of resilience, starting very early on, actually having the first, I believe, vulnerability assessment in the county, which put us in a position to then obtain funds to have an adaptation plan and also have a watershed master plan. So we already have the draft of our watershed master plan that lays out for us what it is the town of Ponce Inlet needs to do in order to become resilient. We have to look at how we can mitigate the current risks and how we're going to adapt to what we can anticipate in the future. So I think that one of the concerns, as raised by Councilman White, is that here we had a fully packed council, a county council meeting filled with mayors, town managers, builders, people whose homes were flooded and they lost everything. So you have many stakeholders, and unless and until we get to a point where we know what is being suggested and whether it is legal, as a body, we're not in a position to support, oppose, and the same with the Volusia League of Cities, because we were being asked to support or oppose, which we cannot without knowing what we're being asked to do, and without the body, the board of directors meeting. So I just wanted to just, add a few things. And I think, Bill, you had a few things you wished to say. I think you do. Go ahead.
Just a couple. Until we see more information out of the county, what their plan is, there's really not much we can do, or not, whether opposing it or accepting it. But the thing that bothers me, we are in a situation that the municipalities and the county caused. Think about it. We have two areas that flooded during Ian. Both of those areas were drainage ditches built by a developer and then abandoned. Were never cleaned, were never taken care of, and it caused homes to be flooded. We, for years, Volusia County refused to raise their impact fee so that the different type of sewer systems and protection systems were not developed because we had such a low impact fee, it was almost an embarrassment in the state of Florida. We didn't do the sewage systems. We didn't do the work, but the developers kept building, and they kept filling in. But they filled it in, and they didn't even bring it up to level. So I can understand why so many people are upset, because their places are flooding, and they're flooding because we didn't, the developer didn't do their job after they finished the development, which just happened in Venetian Bay. It's Venetian Bay is under a moratorium because the developer came in, filled the thing in just enough, high enough, so now it floods all the time. So they actually have a moratorium going on from a municipality in Volusia County right now, and it goes right back to the impact fee. They didn't put the sewer systems in correctly or the drainage systems. They didn't maintain the drainage systems. Ponce Inlet has taken over the taking care of drainage systems that it's in our watershed plan that were not our drainage systems. So I can see where they're coming from, the flooding. And I think things can be done now, whether it's a moratorium or not, if when we get something, whether it meets our ordinances or not, we sit back and take a look and don't approve it until we look at the ordinance and make sure they're doing it correctly. Because we've been hit, and our flooding was caused by drainage ditches that were, the backflow system and everything else, the Halifax being too high, we didn't have the valves to shut them down. I understand all that. But homes flooded because a developer left and never took care of the drainage ditches, and they allowed them to be filled up with silt. Those things can be done correctly now through ordinances and through resolutions and not needing a moratorium. And, I mean, it just bothers me because I've seen it happening. I mean, it took them how many years, Mike, to raise the impact fee where – South Florida was charging $10,000 and $12,000 for the impact fee, and Volusia County was charging $2,000-$3,000, and they finally got it up to $5,000 now. And what's that? That's all your infrastructure, and our infrastructure has been damaged. So I understand why where these people are coming. They're extremely frustrated because of what has been allowed. And so that's just I just hate to see what's happened to the people, and it's all been caused by a developer that came in, built their homes, and walked away and never came back to take care of what they did. So I can understand why they're talking about a moratorium. Do I believe in the moratorium? Personally, I'd hate to see it, but you have to do something to correct what has been allowed through ordinance and resolutions within all the municipalities, and we have not done it.
Right. And Mayor, if I can, one thing that was talked about pretty heavily was the canals. And, you know, the canals connect from, and I'm not going to start in a certain area, but Ormond Beach down to Daytona into Port Orange, and it stops. Well, the maintenance on the canals, that was brought up several times, and George said that the county has already met with the Army Corps of Engineers, and they have a plan in place. Now, how long that takes, no one knows, but that gets back to my point. The point is there's a lot of things that are being done. There was a lot of things that the residents probably should have known about or could have asked about, and they didn't. And then once you got through the first 4 hours of the wrestling around, I'll say, and I'll use the term the clinking of the swords, and George stepped in and started talking, the blood pressure of everyone went down, and they decided to do, and it's not called a workshop, it's called a special meeting, and the county has been instructed to bring back certain items. And the other piece that came about in the meeting was the Transform 386. There were two council members that wanted to utilize $50 million of funds from that to tackle this project several months ago, and they got outvoted. Now they've decided to take a second look at that. So they have the funds in there, and there's some legalities of how much they can move around since they've already submitted how the funds are going to be utilized, but they circled back and said, oh, well, maybe we need to reconsider. So it is a good wake-up call for all of us, and I applaud the council, for Volusia County Council, for doing this. I just don't think this is my terminology. It's not the kindergarten where two kids get in a fight and everybody has to go inside.
Yes.
We all have a plan, in my opinion. I can't speak for the other municipalities, so, Bill, I'm like you. I get compassionate about this when Ponce Inlet gets thrown in a bucket, and we shouldn't be in that bucket.
Well, what reminds me, Julie, you've been around for so many years. Barbara, what happened back in the late 80s? We had that big monster Northeaster, and it took out absolutely everything on Ponce Inlet's beach. Army Corps of Engineers got involved. Was it 1991, 1992 when they finally started pumping? Wasn't it like 2-3 years?
A couple of years later.
Joe, you were there. But that's the thing that always concerns me. We're doing catch-up, which we would have never had to do if it had been done correctly in the first place. And that's what bothers me. And you can't, a moratorium is not going to help because you're still not going to have the monies there to do the job that needs to be done so these homes don't flood within these municipalities. It's like I saw an article the other day, I think it was either Port Orange or New Smyrna, they're looking at this one particular area, and the people asked, well, how long before you're going to correct it? And, well, it's the Army Corps of Engineer involvement, and it's going to be 2-3 years. Well, what do they do, the 100-year storm that shows up every year now?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You're getting into my sphere of knowledge here. And the key word here is residential development. That doesn't apply to this town.
Right.
We have no residential development left. We have single-family houses. We have empty lots. We have other things. If they implemented a moratorium tomorrow, it wouldn't affect this town at all. Are they asking us to reinforce their vote to say, yes, we're in agreement with it, or no, or are we just sitting here watching?
We don't know.
Gary, it depends on which council member reached out to us.
Yeah, because it makes sense because I just happened to take a trip north for another reason yesterday and went back LPGA and looked at the amount of building that's going on and residential building. That's what they're talking about.
Yes.
And they've allowed it to get done without proper supervision and rules, and it just went crazy. They will get a lot of pushback from people that own vacant property that have a developer. And when I used to work for a builder and develop lots, that would have affected me, and I would have been totally upset because that stops my construction. Yeah. If they got a permit, they can finish, but you can't start. And so I'm wondering, it's nice to understand what they're doing, but we're going to, I think, sit on the sidelines and watch what happens, because we can't affect it, and we can learn for it, but we don't have enough vacant lawn to do anything about it.
Thank you, Gary. Joe, anything?
Yeah, it has no impact on us, as Gary has stated. But also, the moratorium that they're talking about is 1 year. And they're looking at the residential development plus the shopping centers that are going in, the sizes of the parking lots, and the lack of drainage that's been forethought before they do that. So we're looking at wetlands being covered over. We're not digging deep enough for retention basins, and we're putting in residential dwellings, and we're just missing things. We're allowing it to take place because the oversight is lacking by the county and by the municipalities. I sat in a couple of meetings with three other municipalities, and they all had the same issue. So it's a tough issue, but the moratorium is only 1 year.
Thank you,
Joe. For them to gather information to understand in more detail how they can better attack the issue.
Is there anyone?
Yeah, I have one more point.
Sure.
And again, Gary, I agree with you. You know, Michael and I had a quick discussion about how many building lots we potentially had left in Ponce, and we averaged and said maybe around 100. But we do have, I'll say off the top of my head, 4 commercial lots that potentially could be tied up in this buildable sites. And we do have one from looking at the planning department's monthly report that is looking at building, what's it called, Fisherman's Village?
Right, yeah, that's the vacant outparcel.
That would, it all depends on the timing of this and the timing for these people, whomever they are, they could be affected. So not in a scale of a subdivision would we be affected because we don't have the property like you're talking about.
Well, and again, that's their interpretation of whatever it's going to be, which we don't know. Development to me is I'm adding streets, I'm adding utilities, I'm hooking on to existing utilities that may override them or overtax them right. at some point in time. Yeah. And if they don't have the ability to take what I want, building something on an existing lot, all of those utilities are in place. Mm-hmm. So everything we've got, the only possibility is if the Johnson's property wanted to rezone that commercial to residential mm-hmm. and put a street down there and add on to our system. That yeah. would be a development
right.
to me, my definition.
Right.
Now, I could be wrong.
Yeah, and I'm with you, but the only definition that we're currently hearing, and again, I'll say currently, this was all talk. It's like we're discussing now, that privately owned individual single family lots would be allowed to continue to build. Right. Everything past that, nothing. That's what's being discussed. But I think that's why the planning meeting, and again, we have, in my opinion, we have the best town manager, but also with his background, we have a star going in there that will represent the town the way it should be. So,
well, and I think that theoretically we're supposed to be getting more information along the way so that everybody's more prepared for that January 14th meeting, but I just don't know if we're going to have it in time for us to discuss as a body what we think. I think it's incumbent upon all the elected officials. You know, we are to advocate on behalf of our residents, but we don't know what is being proposed. I think it's good for our residents, the builders who live in town, you know, the ones that's their business, that everyone should be made aware and of this county council meeting, special meeting that's coming up. But I think for our purposes today, I don't know if there's really much we can do no. beyond what we just talked about. But I don't know, is there anyone in the audience that has any questions or wishes to make a comment? Yes, Ms. Davis. Thank you.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Selfish Drive. So, Mr. Shepherd, would the county have the authority to put a blanket moratorium on every municipality, and if we said, we'll take care of our own business, no thank you, what happens?
No is the answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Cliff. Anyone else? I think that we're just going to have to watch this unfold at this point, and we will do our best to keep everyone informed, and I can assure you that you will all have representation at the special meeting by the county. So,
yeah, Mayor, Mike, I have just a few things to add here.
Okay.
Yeah, so to answer the question, we did count. It's the number of vacant residential parcels is 163 in town. You know, for most places, that's just an average new subdivision going in. As Councilman White said, we're not going to have new subdivisions. Our last new subdivision was along Inland Harbor Road, and that was, 10 lots in 2020. The last one before that was Las Olas in 2002. So that's pretty much it. Our biggest challenge, and really the real challenge, in my opinion, that of the other cities, is dealing with the older residential subdivisions that were not designed according to newer standards. I mean, they just weren't. You know, we have that. Really, if you look in Ponce Inlet, the only ones that currently meet that are Las Olas and Inland Harbor. And everything else predates those standards. And, you know, so when you have those, that's the challenge, is to retrofit them to accommodate the changes in the rainfall that we've been seeing. You know, they were developed under a different standard. But as climate changes, we saw this in our watershed management plan. All it takes is just a small change in your average temperature to warm the atmosphere. Warmer air holds more water, and so that you're going to get a lot more water coming in. As the water level rises in the ocean and the river, it also lifts up the ground table, so the ground can't store as much water. So that's the challenge that we face. Now we have